all in all, because all is related to everything else, and everything is part of the all. A weekly space on Oneness Talk Radio to explore topics of interest for our whole being, holism, health and well-being, philosophical questions and ideas for our times, and much more. All in All with Silvana Spano, therapist, holistic health coach, healer, and teacher. Hi, everyone. Today I'm going to share some of our strategies for self-care at a time when most people are worried about the spread of viruses worldwide, particularly the new strain of the coronavirus known as 2019-nCoV. This is the official name of the virus that originated in the city of Wuhan, China. And yesterday, January 30th of 2020, the World Health Organization declared the spread of the disease a pandemic, meaning that it's an epidemic of wide proportions. So, what does that mean for all of us in terms of what we need to know and what we can do about prevention? That's what I want to cover in this episode, as we've been getting numerous calls and emails from clients all over the world asking for our recommendations. Before I get into what we can do to try and face the viral outbreak in the best shape possible, let's do a quick overview of the situation. Because should we even be concerned or take precautionary measures? For the record, I am recording this on the last day of January of 2020, so that if you listen to this podcast later on, you can contextualize the timeline. Hopefully, the virus will be contained and this will just have been a big scare. At the world level, I mean. But right now, this is what we hear from different media sources, both mainstream and alternative. Some sources say that the problem is being underreported. Others say that they are being exaggerated. Some say it's being spread on purpose for some ill intent at government or shadow government levels. So whether it's foul play, some sort of biochemical weapon, or whether it's an accidental infection of the population, or a combination of the two, those are some very interesting questions, but that's not what we're going to focus on here. So, this is what we hear from different sources, that the incubation period is as long as 14 days, so that people can be infecting others unknowingly before their symptoms develop, and that some people have the virus but never develop symptoms, allegedly transmitting the disease without knowing. I personally would add that the identification of the disease seems slow, at least in some parts of the world. Back to what is being said in the media, as of yesterday, all regions of China had reported the disease and 18 other countries. In addition to the World Health Organization having declared the new virus a pandemic yesterday, the government of the United States declared a state of national health emergency today. Even though the risk of people contracting the disease within the US is still considered low, there has been at least one case, they say. In any case, they are taking precautions with quarantines and travel restrictions to and from China. According to the official reports from the Chinese government, the disease has spread by 1,000% in 1 week. Even if this is true, it could and it will hopefully slow down. Historically, they say that the Spanish flu epidemic, which infected about 500 million people back in 1918, killed as many as 100 million before it fizzled out. And this novel coronavirus 2019-nCoV is said to have a higher transmission and mortality rate. We'll leave it at that But even if part of that information that we're receiving is true, there are some reasons to be concerned. So let's talk about prevention. What can we do? Before I go into my recommendations, I'd like to say that at this point, at least, how much you do, how proactive you are, will depend a lot on where you live. In areas where the new coronavirus has been confirmed, you will have to be much more careful on a daily basis. However, there's great tips coming up for everyone, and I hope that you will adopt at least some of them, especially the ones that are aimed at strengthening your immune system. This is so that if one of us were exposed and caught the virus, it would find us in good shape, strong enough to fight off the disease and not only survive it, but recover well. Let's start with the behaviors that we can change in order to protect ourselves. The first and most obvious one is to try to avoid crowds, and I realize that this is easier said than done. But we'll have to keep our antennas up and make decisions for ourselves, at least whenever possible, about avoiding crowds in the forms of airplanes and buses, concerts, fairs, gyms, hospitals, especially hospitals, if one can do that. In other words, don't be in crowds just because, only if you must, for some good and important reason. So when we do have to go out in public, we need to cover our bodies with clothing as much as possible. So long sleeves, long pants, and we need to consider a mask, glasses, or goggles. In some areas, for sure, depending on where you are, it could be a matter of common sense or necessity or even a legal requirement. But for those of us who are not living in those areas, we may still need to start considering that, depending how things go, perhaps for the first time in our lives. And when we are out there, let's all be careful not to touch our mouth, our eyes, and our nose, as they're obviously not clean when we're in public. As soon as we get home, we need to wash our hands, and even better, change our clothes and shoes too. If you handle money, you need to wash your hands immediately before you do anything else or touch anything else. And let's now focus on the things that we can do to strengthen ourselves. So the first and most important one is rest and sleep. Rest and sleep as much as you can, because few things weaken us more than being tired and underslept. So do everything you can in these days of stresses and worries to allocate enough hours to sleep and to take breaks, even a few minutes at a time when you can. Naps can also help, at least for some people. And having said that, be careful with caffeine, which can mask tiredness, so that we end up pushing ourselves more than we should and spending more energy than we actually have. It can also interfere with sleep, both. Next, I'm gonna give you a list of things to avoid if at all possible. So the first one on the list is alcohol. Yes, please try to avoid alcohol. Even moderate drinking can be a problem when it comes to immune health. Even one drink a day will have a negative effect on the strength of our immune system. It is, after all, an immune suppressant, and at this time, we simply just can't afford it. Don't you think? Smoking of any kind, even vaping, anything that stresses the respiratory system should also be avoided at all costs, especially that this coronavirus attacks the respiratory system and we certainly don't want to find it irritated to begin with, if we were to catch it. Likewise, toxic fumes, car exhaust, and air pollution needs to be avoided more than ever right now. There are also some prescription medications and over-the-counter medications that are well known to suppress the immune system. These include, but are not exclusive to, steroids, antacids, antihistamines, just to name a few of the common ones. And often they can be avoided. Talk to your doctor if necessary, but certainly consider that. Another thing that would be good to avoid now is aggressive exercise. Any kind of aggressive exercise will stress the body. And again, at this time, the question is, can we afford that? So, walking, stretching, yoga, and light gym-like exercises are all good. Dancing too, good for the body and soul, in moderation. Just don't go to the Rio Carnival in Brazil this year and exhaust yourself dancing in the crowds all week. The point is that we should save any extra energy to support our immunity right now. And talking about energy, it brings me to diet. As some of you know, we promote a super nutritious anti-inflammatory diet for everyone. This is to maintain all health at all levels. But when it comes to immunity, the main thing is to avoid sugar. The diet that we recommend can look different according to people's particular states of health, conditions, constitutions, etc. But in general, we support a way of eating that is void of grains, dairy, and processed foods. We have clients who are vegans, vegetarians, and omnivores, and we teach them all to eat as healthy as possible, paying special attention to the fact that we need plenty of vegetables, especially right now, and some fruits, unless there's an issue with glucose metabolism. We also need appropriate amounts of healthy proteins and healthy carbohydrates, mostly in the form of some fruits and a lot of root vegetables like tapioca, potatoes, and sweet potatoes, yuca or cassava, taro, arrowroot, as well as coconuts and plantains if you can get them. We also ask that people pay special attention to foods that they may not be tolerating well. Whether someone suffers from an allergy, a food sensitivity, or an intolerance, it's important that you pay close attention to this to avoid triggering inflammation and/or autoimmunity, which often go together. And this is very relevant to today's subject, to keep our immune system strong, both directly and indirectly. Directly, because if our immune system is busy attacking food particles that it perceives as dangerous, it probably won't be as effective attacking a viral invasion if it needs to. And indirectly, because the more resources that are being used for other things, such as an inflammatory process, the less resources will be available for what we need them the most. In this case, to protect us from a serious virus going around. So, the diet that we recommend is what I said in a nutshell, but the more customized it is, the better. And we're here to help anyone who wants to consult with us to make it as personalized as possible. Now, when it comes to supplementation, there is a wonderful list of natural supplements that can help our immune system be strong and stay strong. And this is in combination with some of the previous suggestions I already gave you, including avoiding certain substances that depress the immune system. Always remember that supplements are supplementary and that we shouldn't use them as main lifestyle interventions, but as additional helpers to achieve and maintain optimal health. And that applies in this case as well. Except that it would be good to add as many of them as possible, just because we're in a more serious situation than usual. And perhaps we need all the help we can get. So I am going to give you a list of the top supplements that we've selected to strengthen the immune system, but it does not mean that there aren't many, many others, vitamins, minerals, herbal products that couldn't also help. Much depends on access in terms of what people can gather for supplementation. So in some areas, some of what I mentioned here may be easy to get, or you may have other products available, local plants, for example, bee products, healing mushrooms that are tried and true in terms of keeping people strong in times of illness. I totally urge you to investigate that and be in tune with your local environment. But here is our list. So vitamin C, and by that I mean real vitamin C, not ascorbic acid, but the whole vitamin C that comes in things like citrus fruits and other fruits, as well as all vegetables, is what I'm talking about. Not that ascorbic acid, the lab-made so-called vitamin C, is not effective. It's a powerful antioxidant which can be very useful in many cases, particularly for acute care when we may need large dosages of an antioxidant. But remember that the real thing is always much more recognized by the body. Take natural vitamin C, for example. It has 14 components, out of which ascorbic acid is one. So think about it in terms of its synergistic effects on our bodies. So in addition to eating as many foods as possible that are packed with vitamin C, you may want to try and find a supplement that is derived from a natural berry, for example, such as camu camu or acai. A lot of these berries come from South America, not too far from where we are, and they are absolutely packed with high levels of vitamin C. They're sold in powder form, in capsule forms, so see if you can get some of that. Now, if you have to have ascorbic acid instead of the whole vitamin C, make sure that it's one called L-ascorbic acid instead of D-ascorbic acid. And the difference is that one is natural, it's been isolated from the rest of the vitamin C, but it's at least natural, and the other one is completely synthetic. You'll also need to make sure that it's from a non-GMO, a non-genetically modified source. So L-ascorbic acid, that is from a non-GMO certified source. Next on our list is vitamin D3, and it's important that it be D3, which is, again, the natural form. There's a lot of room for taking vitamin D3 in much larger dosages than is usually recommended. So the bottom of the range is 5,000 IUs per day. However, functional medicine doctors recommend up to 125,000 IUs per day for up to 3 days at a time whenever necessary. And between 5,000 and 125,000, of course, there's a lot of room for fortifying ourselves daily, more so if we're feeling under the weather, and more so if we feel like we're fighting something. We shouldn't forget, of course, to also produce our own vitamin D3 by exposing ourselves to sunshine for 10 to 20 minutes a day. The next one is vitamin A. And again, in addition to eating foods that contain vitamin A, it would be very good to get a supplement of emulsified vitamin A. Elderberry extract is also very powerful for strengthening the immune system. Make sure it's a concentrated form and one that doesn't contain sugar and other additives. Out of all the minerals, zinc is the most important for keeping our immune response in shape. Not only does it have its own important functions, but it also acts as a vehicle to transport other nutrients into the cells. The amino acid L-lysine is also very recommended for immune function. There is also a family of plants that has actually been studied against the coronavirus. This is because they contain antiviral lectins that can inhibit the replication of the virus. Can you believe it? The healing substances are all in nature. We just have to find them. So I am going to go through a list of 15 coronavirus inhibiting plants, which I got from one of my favorite sources called Green Med Info. An absolutely pristine source of information that is backed up by serious studies. So see if you can find any of these 15 coronavirus inhibiting plants around where you are. And they are amaryllis, snowdrop, daffodil, red spider, leek, ramsons, taro, cymbidium orchid, tulip, black mulberry tree, the tobacco plant, stinging nettle, and two more that are hard to pronounce, and they are twyblade, as well as broad-leaved helleborine. I hope I said that last one right. So apparently, there are extracts that are made out of those 15 different plants that I just mentioned, which would be so useful to have around, even if one could locate one or two, or make them oneself. As I said before, they are part of an even larger group of plants that have a strong anti-coronavirus activity because of their mannose-binding lectins, which inhibits the reproduction of the virus. Last but not least, in terms of supplementation, I am going to share one of our best secrets with you. I'm just kidding about it being a secret, but the truth is that not very many people know about it. This mineral that I'm talking about is called calcium sulfate, and you can buy it from a place called herbhealers.com. I'll spell it for you. It's herbhealers.com, and it's a website that sells several natural products. In fact, we know who's behind the website, and they only sell excellent quality products. So this calcium sulfate is a liquid, and you dilute it 1:4, meaning that 1 liter of calcium sulfate plus 4 liters of water will end up being 5 liters. Though you don't actually need a lot, especially because the way you introduce it to the body is by nebulizing it, which means that you will also need to purchase a small nebulizer. Make sure that is a quiet one, because some are very noisy and other ones are usually more compact and much more quiet, and that is what you want. So look for those specifications on the box. Home nebulizers designed to deliver medicine can be found in good pharmacies or online. This product can be used for prevention in smaller dosages, as well as for treatment as an adjunct to a whole treatment plan if one needed it to combat a virus. One more recommendation I would like to give you is to take care of your intestinal flora. The gut flora, which is the biggest microbial environment that we have in our bodies, the most significant part of our microbiome, is also believed to be the base of our immune system. In fact, it is estimated to form as much as 80% of it. In other words, if the microbiome is dysfunctional, a condition known as dysbiosis, your immune system will suffer and not work well. Therefore, this needs to be part of the plan for strengthening our immune system in order to be well equipped to fight against anything, including and especially the coronavirus. How you take care of your gut flora is by eating well. You need to consume vegetables, including some raw ones, which provide the microbial flora with prebiotics. And you need to consume either fermented foods, such as sauerkraut or kimchi, and or supplement probiotics. And you also need to avoid foods that irritate and dysregulate the intestinal tract, which sends us back to not only eating a super healthy diet, but one that is tailored for you. If you have any questions about this important program today, or if you want to dive into how to eat and live in a way that maximizes your health, I invite you to consult with us. We coach and counsel in person and online, and we are only an email away. For additional information, you can also check out our new website at www.holisticwellness.solutions. Finally, our immune system is subject to the effects of both positive and difficult emotions, thoughts, beliefs, and the vibratory state that we hold. Stress, for example, affects everything. It affects the front line, which is our nervous system. It affects our hormone system, our endocrine system, and it affects our gut, which we were just talking about. That is the base of our immune system. There are those connections, those systems connections, and there are many other ones, a lot of them invisible and even unknown to the average person, but they're all very real. No matter what happens with this coronavirus epidemic of 2020, I'd like to remind all of us to be good to ourselves and to be good to others. It could be that in the near future, we are called to make big decisions and to be the best we can be. So let's start thinking about that. Let's hold a high perspective, put our inner house in order too. What are our priorities? Let's not forget that all is related to all, that we're all connected, and that we're all in this together. If nothing else, it'll be a great exercise. Take care of yourselves holistically in these intense times. Many blessings and be well. Thank you for listening to today's program. I wish you a week ahead filled with blessings for your body, heart, and soul, and hope that you tune into All in All next time. If you're bilingual or learning Spanish, I invite you to stay on and listen to the Spanish version of this episode. Coming up next, ciao!